two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nightside on KSL.
A limited edition summer season.
It is a little weird to be back here doing this.
Yeah, the weird part's me taking your temperature before each show.
The Nightside Project with Ethan Millard and Alex Carey. Streaming live on Alexa and on KSL News Radio at 102.7 FM.
Welcome to the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard here with Alex Carey. Thanks so much for tuning in. We got a lot happening tonight, including the weekly return of Dr. Matt Woolley for a little bit of complimentary professional mental health assistance, courtesy of the Nightside Project. And Alex, why don't we get started on the mental health talk?
Yeah,
why don't
we
get started a little bit early on that?
I thought this would be a really good time to tell you that you've changed, buddy.
Well,
you've changed, and you've been super weird during all this. I thought it was just going to be like an old blanket, but you have totally changed. COVID has changed you, Millard.
Well, and I'm not the only one. In fact, around the world, people are reporting massive changes in personalities, including things like formerly social people kind of becoming a little bit non-social.
Well, they've been forced to.
Yeah, they've been forced to, but I wonder if maybe the difference is that you like it.
There could be this thing. Here's the deal. We hear from, and I think Dr. Matt Woolley has spoken to this a little bit during the time that we've had him on the show during these weeks. And it is, you know, people who are the outgoing personality type tend to struggle more during something like this. While we have had people we've had people texting us like, this has been amazing. I don't like being around other people. I hate human beings. I love the COVID because I've been able to not have to go into work as much. I've been able to not have to deal with those people that I usually deal with. And look, you don't even have to go into a restaurant anymore. Food just shows up at your door. The people ring your doorbell and run away. So it works out perfect for those people with agoraphobia. I don't know. The thing is here's the part that I worry about is how much it changes a little bit maybe of the development of your kids, right? So that's something that's come up during all this as well. And while I thought this was funny because in this article that we read from the BBC that has to do with the suggestion of people's personalities changing during all this. And if you feel like that your personality has changed a little during all this, we'd love to hear from you. 57500. What has your personality changed into, and do you like the new version of you? But there is a personality change laboratory at the University of California. Boy, higher education has gotten to a weird place, hasn't it?
Well, I think so. Just because you're not interested, it doesn't mean it's not
that
important.
I'm not interested. I'm just saying there is a full-on personality change center. Isn't that what they called it? The personality. Look, they studied this stuff, Ethan, and our personality has been changing during all this. I get it. We're totally acting differently. This is nothing we've ever encountered before. Why on earth wouldn't we change how we think about things? Of course we do.
How have you changed?
Same old, same old. Now, for me, I'm coming into work every day, so I'm still the same guy. Here's what I will say. I think that I have become way more I have gotten a little bit more grumpy during all this. If I'm going to be completely honest.
But do you think that that's permanent grumpy, or do you think that's just,
I don't know.
You're tired,
I don't like
of
it.
Everything,
I don't like the new, I don't like the newer, more grumpy version of me. I hope it does.
Really,
I hope it passes.
How do your kids and wife feel about it?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
They love it?
I don't know if it's because, the ones who get the brunt of this are the kids. I'm way more grumpy with them. I think we see them more often. I mean, that's probably why.
Yeah, but let me just say this. Number one, I'm impressed that you can see that in yourself, that you've got self-awareness. I think that's great. But number two, why don't you use that self-awareness to change and not be so grumpy?
Why would you expect me to change myself during all that? I just came to this conclusion today.
Well, good. Let it be a springboard and say, you know what? I know I'm grumpy. I know it's not necessary.
See, before when my kids say, I hate you, Dad, I would always just go, yeah, right. I'm a great dad. Now I go, I kind of get it. I kind of get it during all this.
But they say
there's this thing called the Michelangelo effect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And experts say that this is something that is partly due to the lack of people's experiences being predictable. We don't have predictable experiences right now. Predictable experiences from work. We don't have predictable experiences, obviously, from school. And it's just going to get a little bit more weird when the fall rolls around because school's going to be totally different than it is.
I've had experiences with excessive grumpiness over the last couple of months. But I don't think that really necessarily represents a change in personality because there have always been things that have made me grumpy, right? Now they're just kind of more and more often and more extended opportunities for things to trigger a little bit of grumpiness in me. So I wouldn't say that this is like a personality change.
Okay, so what do you think that you have? What behavior has changed the most during all of this pandemic, Ethan? What of your behavior of any of your lifestyle, anything, has changed the most during all this?
I'm eating a lot better.
Better?
Mm-hmm.
You're like the only person I know. You're the only person that we know. Your anecdotal
eating better?
Yeah, your anecdotal weirdness does not translate into reality.
No. Listen to what happened. So, and I know I'm not the only one, but all this coronavirus stuff, it kind of triggered this general existential analysis, right? And I, for one, and I've never been like this, all right? I've never been a hypochondriac. I'm not saying I'm a hypochondriac, but I've never been particularly worried about my health, okay, at all. And rarely gone to the doctor at all in my life. But reading all these stories about young people, you know, this marathon runner, he was the healthiest guy anyone knew. Then he got COVID and needs a double lung transplant. It was just crazy stuff like that. And I just could not shake it. And I started to get really concerned about things like that. And that's triggered. I've seen, especially if you add in the accident out there on the sidewalk that nearly ended my life. Especially if you count that. I've seen a doctor more in the last 6 months than I have in the last few years.
Well, I was going to say,
here's
what I'll say, is that this Michelangelo effect, if you're anybody worth your salt in the psychology community, it is this. It's basically the idea of this is the ideal version of me that I think that, one, I want to see myself as, and two, what I think that the people who love me and that are around me view me as, and you start to gravitate toward that ideal self image. And you eating better is kind of a sped up effect of that, Ethan, where you go, you know what? I don't have to put on the quarantine 19. I don't need to put on the quarantine 37.
I put on the quarantine 19 back in 2019.
I think that in your case, you're doing exactly what the psychology says that we would do, which is you start to gravitate toward being a better person because you are around the people that you love the most, and you feel like you need to be on your best behavior around the people that you love the most.
Okay, so I get that.
I'm more grumpy at the people that, right now that I love the most. I don't know why.
But let me tell you, what happened, though. So I actually had an overreaction to something that happened in my life and with my health. And that landed me in the doctor's office with, you know, Dr. Clark, really good guy,
yeah.
Great doctor. And it was nothing, right? He could have laughed in my face.
He got
it from the office. It was pretendinitis.
It was pretendinitis. That's what it was.
Yeah.
See, I thought he was going to say something like,
face.
Oh.
He didn't because he's a great doctor.
Ethan's
and
got
so,
a problem of the blood. That's what I thought. It was like some old school diagnosis.
But you know what happened, though, is he gave me, and these were not hard things, and they were a little bit more specific, and it wasn't the general, well, you know, eat more vegetables and exercise more, see you later, come for a checkup sometime. It was just a couple of specific things. He said, well, try this and this and this. and it made the biggest deal. And so I went from having this kind of COVID-related general health overreaction. I didn't think it was
right.
It was COVID. It was just, I've been so hyped on my health recently that it drove me into the doctor's office. But I'm grateful I went, and I'm grateful that I endured the humiliation of the false alarm. And because it was, I got some meaningful help out of it that really has been great for me.
Hey, everybody.
And so that's been awesome.
Hey, everybody. Join Ethan Millard every night here on the Nightside Project, where he tells you how he's better than you. Join us every evening, 57500.
Hey, Dr. Clark's number. You got Dr. Clark's number. Call him up and say,
we
hey.
We moved. Tell we moved. I cut off all. We moved. Listen, I cut off all those relationships.
You
in the
cut off all those ties?
I don't know. I told them to burn all my medical files when I leave there, too.
Just go and say, hey, tell me what you told Ethan. I'll sign a waiver. Sign a waiver if you want.
Hey, what are those drugs you gave Ethan Millard? Can you give me a double dose, please? 57500. This one says, so much better as well. Go plant-based. You've been cramming the veggie thing down everybody's throat.
Well, no, come on. We did our vegan. We did our time as vegans.
We did our time as vegans. We were in vegan jail.
Vegan
prison. Vegan
Nam. We were in vegan Nam. Dude, we did our time.
We got hit with that organic napalm.
And it's, I've got a friend actually who's gone vegan. And
it's turned into the most insufferable friend that you have?
No.
Oh,
no.
Sure.
But, you know, it's a big lifestyle change. So, of course, people want to process it, right? They want to talk about it, but it's not an overbearing thing.
Going from eating burgers every once in a while, having a nice Polish dog, to a life that is 100% just bread, Oreos, and Fritos is really tough as a vegan. So congratulations to my plant-based friends out there who've made the switch over to all Fritos and Oreos. Let's take our first break. How has your personality changed during the pandemic, or has it at all? Or are you not that self-aware and you don't care? 57500. The Nightside Project, last 3 days of the program, as we finally have gotten you. Ethan, have you noticed all the numbers going down, the COVID numbers going down as the Nightside Project?
We're doing it.
Is also going down in flames.
The coronavirus is bowing to the Nightside Project.
We're going to take the break here. We'll come back. We've got much more to talk about. We've got a consumer news next. You don't want to miss it. Stay right here. It's the Nightside Project on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back to the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard here with Alex Keery. We're getting some of your tags here at 57500.
We want to remind people, too. I know you're going to read these texts for in just a second, but I want to remind you. Actual helpful content around the corner on the Nightside Project. Doesn't happen very often, but we're going to be doing it with Dr. Matt Woolley. He's going to be directing us in a little bit of cognitive therapy over the radio. And that's
going
the thing.
To be great.
So there's that. Wait, you had a text you want to read from Unky Ben, is that right?
Here's one from Unky Ben. I've got a few texts I want to read. Mm. If Ethan goes vegan and starts doing CrossFit, which do you think he'll bring up first? When
I told him, I said neither. You'll bring up your rescue dogs.
Your rescue
first.
Dogs, yeah, for sure.
Either that or if you ever run a marathon and I have to run into you after that weekend.
And be like, you know, ever since I've been doing the plant-based diet, I started running marathons.
Don't worry, Alex. Don't worry, because I'm going to FaceTime you during the marathon.
That seems like
20 miles in. I feel real good. I'm so glad that I've been doing vegan.
You know, I haven't been. You know, I know a lot of friends who've dropped out of this race right now today because they haven't been going plant-based. They were eating those ribs right before the start of the race. Now they can't get through it.
Alex, you got to come do this with me. You got to go vegan and start running marathons. Change your life.
Those guys are the worst. I think we figured it out. All right. Ethan, we got a very important thing right now, and that is some consumer news. For those of you who are still out and using your buying power in the community, these stories are for you. So here we go.
Nightside consumer news. It could save your life. Or not.
Definitely not.
All right. First up, there's a Chick-fil-A in Lynchburg, Virginia. They're running out of coins just like everywhere else. Even my gas station, the gas station that I go to, they've got a sign up that says, hey, if you can, use electronic payment because we're running
out
of coins.
Is it being held by a guy on the corner and it's written on cardboard? Because that's actually a scam.
No.
We're totally short on coins over here.
No, it's a real deal.
If you could go ahead and throw them right at me, that would be great.
This Lynchburg, Virginia Chick-fil-A location has put out a call on its Facebook page with this offer. If you bring in $10 of change, any combination of pennies, nickels, dimes, and quarters, they'll give you a $10 bill.
Oh, $10?
And,
wow.
And they'll give you a free entree. So all you do is bring in $10 in coins, they'll give you a $10 bill and a free entree. That's not bad.
That's not bad at all. That seems like a good deal if you've got those coins. If you're still hoarding those coins, I will just say this. You have never cared for change. You pretended like that change was important to you, but you kept it in your house and you stole it from everybody else. And
it's never going to be more valuable than this, you guys. So take advantage of these deals. Here's my question, though, because I know that banks are limiting the amount of change you can get out, but can you get 10 bucks out in change?
Oh, I don't know.
Because if you can, go to your credit union, get a free lunch.
Yeah,
you know, go to your credit union, pull 10 bucks out.
Wait, they're doing the free lunch at the credit union too?
No. Go to the credit union, get 10 bucks in change.
Right.
Go to the Chick-fil-A, turn it in, you get the 10 bucks, you get your free food, you get your free lunch, then drive that $10 bill back to the credit union, put
it
back in your account.
You've got yourself, you keep going back for more. You take that $10 back, you take the $10 back and go, hey, I'm back, I need $10 in coins.
Yeah,
and then you go back
true.
And get another. This could be your infinity entree from. Did you say it was Chick-fil-A?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And they're giving it to you on a card. The value of like a free a card for like a free chicken sandwich or whatever.
That's
even better because you can hoard them.
you'd be one of those guys.
Did I pick the right word? Is that the right word?
I think you got
hoard?
The right word. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In fact, Chick-fil-A, and before you start pestering our local Chick-fil-A franchises,
this is out of
Virginia, Lynchburg,
yeah.
Virginia. So
you know, and,
are they doing it here? I have no idea.
I haven't heard.
I bet that if I walked into my gas station and I said, hey, I've got 10 bucks in change. If I give you this 10 bucks in change, you give me a $10 bill and a free Big Gulp. Or it's not a Big Gulp. It's not 7-Eleven. It's a Holiday Oil. So it'd be a free Big Swig or whatever it is.
See, if I was
Super Swig, I bet they'd say yes. I bet they would go for it.
If I was panhandling right now, I would write a sign. It would say this: COVID-19 and the coin shortage have hit me hard. And it wouldn't be untrue. And that's the whole thing. Is like I could use your extra change. I bet if everybody reached into that coin. That ashtray filled with coins. Do they still make cards with ashtrays? That's kind of a thing of the past. If you could reach in that coin drawer on your car, and reach and just get those coins out, we could just be rid of that whole thing. That's extra weight that your car has to drag around all year. That's increased gas mileage. You get rid of those coins. Come on.
There's another business that's doing this. It's a brand new Taco Bell in Newman, California. And they are doing a very similar thing. They're saying, hey, if you bring in...
Ethan, none of this is helpful to me. A California Taco Bell and a Virginia Chick-fil-A?
But this is a trend. This is what I'm saying. I'm trying to point this out and saying, hey, maybe there's some opportunities here.
Go in and start to say, can I talk with the manager when you go into your next Chick-fil-A visit? Hi, I just noticed that you guys were not running that free entree deal with the with
they
the coins.
Virginia.
I'd be like, look, I've already done the liberty of pulling out $100 worth of coins.
I just think there's an opportunity.
You owe me 10 entrees.
I think there's an entrepreneurial opportunity here to supply these businesses with change. Because why would there not be a need for this in Utah? What, all they don't have enough change in California and Virginia because it's all in Utah? No, of course. Utah businesses are going through the same problem. They got the signs on every retail business. They got all the signs. Please pay electronically. Or please have exact change, whatever the case may be. And
you don't have to tell me twice. I haven't used coins to pay for anything since the late 90s.
Yeah,
so
me too.
I got in on that trend early.
The only place I love to use coins is, and this is admittedly rare and not very
nickelcade, which by the way is never just a nickel anymore. But
no,
yeah,
I know.
Go ahead.
No, but when you're traveling, when you're overseas, when you have the chance to visit another country, isn't it awesome paying in cash?
I love it.
I'm like, I'm not paying with my credit card here. I'm going to pay in cash. Let me count out these
coins.
I'm
going to pay in your euros. Is that right? Is that how you say them?
How many
Euro?
Kroners
How many?
Does it take to buy this loaf of bread?
Hi, I've got these French lira. Are they good here still? I'm trying to think of that. Hi, Hi, I'm in Frankfurt, so I'm paying in francs. Do you guys still accept those, or are we just full on embracing the EU?
Or did you mean the sausages, right. Or did you mean the skin of the sausages?
Ethan, we asked people to text in if they have, just be honest with yourself, has your personality changed during all this? The answer is, for a lot of people, yes, during the coronavirus, personalities have actually changed. It's an actual scientific fact. So how has it changed for you? How about this one? I am grumpier, impatient, and everything makes me mad.
This sounds like
I sent this text in right here. Another person says mental health was great until I was reminded that this is the last three nights of the Nine Side Project. Oh,
yeah. Man. Sorry. Well, we've done our part.
We can't give any more.
But you and this texter, though, this grumpier, impatient, everything makes you mad.
Yeah.
You should talk it out, man. You should talk it out with Dr. Matt Woolley or somebody else because...
Fine. When Dr. Matt comes on, well, he knows. Look, he'll just say right off the bat what I probably don't want to hear, and that is if men are more irritable, that's like the number one... that's the number one indicator for like some depression symptoms.
That's why I brought it up. That's why I brought it up because
Ethan, I'm not depressed. I just hate you. I'm not depressed. I'm just mad about you. Right.
I went through this earlier in the spring and it took a while for me to realize what was happening. Cause I'd never really experienced it before. And it's worth talking it out, man. Your mental health is
this
just
one
like
says,
your physical health.
Much more healthy since they shut down the butter your own popcorn fountain. Well, you weren't supposed to drink it. I know it was a fountain,
butter
but technically
own, butter your own Big
but
Mac.
the butter your own popcorn fountain at the movie stores have gone away, or at the movie theaters have gone away temporarily. But just as an aside, you weren't supposed to put them in your fountain drink. All right,
It was a butter your own Mountain Dew.
Butter your own Diet Coke.
Come
back. We've got more to go. We've got Dr. Matt Woolley around the corner. I've got questions from our listeners from the last couple weeks. And it's going to be some free therapy for you. Although I already feel like I've gotten a lot off my chest this show. So stay with us. More to go. The Nine Side Project continues after news, traffic, and weather.
Nightside.
This is the Nightside Project.
I may be super, but
I am no hero.
Nightside on KSL.
A limited edition summer season.
You realize, though, Alex, this is just temporary.
Yeah, I still took your parking space, and I'm not giving it back.
The Nightside Project with Ethan Millard and Alex Carey. Streaming live on Alexa and on KSL News Radio at 102.7 FM.
Welcome back. This is the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard. He's Alex Keery. Got a text here. I need the Nightside in my life. Please don't leave. I actually got a few people have asked us this, and we are going to continue with the podcast. So, you know, we were a podcast for a long time, and then we came on the air to battle COVID, which we did.
Which we did with such grace.
And now we're going back to podcast, which is our more natural habitat.
Is it?
And so... You can find the Nightside Project podcast on iTunes, on KSL News Radio app, anywhere you can find great podcasts.
Dr. Matt Woolley, a clinical psychologist, joining the program as he usually does. He is, of course, also one of the hosts of the Project Recovery podcast with Casey Scott as well. And because it is the last week of the Nightside Project, Dr. Matt, we wanted to make sure that we... We just wanted to send the proper, you know, the proper send off to
Dr. Matt
Woolley. And a big giant thank you to having you on the program every week here. So thanks for hanging out with us.
Oh, I feel like I should thank you guys. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I know we're used to hearing this song more at a church dance, but I think this
it's been a while since I've been to a church dance.
Well, you know, Matt, it's you've brought just so much to this show, especially at a time where people really needed to talk things out, and you've been awesome. So thank you, and I think we say this on behalf of all. Everyone who's been listening to the Nightside Project, thank you. It's a great job, highly valuable, and we've really appreciated it.
Well, thanks for saying that. I hope it has been for everybody. I've had a good time trying to be helpful and supportive. It's been a crazy, crazy year so far, and I think people are banding together and trying to help each other out.
Well, here's our first question, because somebody actually texted us in this week, and I'm actually ambushing you with this one. They go, you never ask Dr. Matt how he's doing. So, Dr. Matt, how are you feeling during all this?
Oh, that's very nice of them to consider my feelings. You know, to be honest, a lot of my work is from home now, and it's virtual, but I'm as busy as ever, and actually being home, I get to see my kids a lot more than I do normally, and so I'm fortunate in the sense that while there are some stressful things, I've been actually feeling great, so thanks for asking.
Good.
Well, there you go. There's the answer. Now everybody can get off our backs about not giving Dr. Matt enough attention. Let's go back to us. Enough about us. Let's talk about you.
For like a month right there.
That's right. So here we go. The first question of the evening says, my mom is in a long-term care facility, and we haven't seen her in person in months. That could be stressful on its own, right?
Yeah.
But she's very high risk. They put very high risk if she were to have an outbreak at her facility. How do I process the fear that I have with her and other high-risk loved ones during this time? Processing fear. That's an interesting way of putting it.
Yeah. Boy, my heart goes out to this person, and there are a lot of people listening that can relate who are in the same position right now. And this is one of those situations that's very common but hasn't been talked about a lot, I think, just out there in the conversation. The basic idea here is, how do you process fear? You need to get out ahead of it, instead of waiting for it to come get you. So one of the things that I've heard other people do that is sort of helpful to them is, if possible, connecting with their elderly parent through virtual sessions and then recording those conversations. So for posterity, for your own preservation of that connection with your parent who may be in the care facility, and obviously not every person in those facilities are able to communicate, but if that's possible. Another thing is, actually be very creative and see if there are any ways that you actually can go into the facility if you have proper PPE, personal protective equipment. And I don't mean just like a mask. This may be a full body gear, but that may be important if you're worried about your loved one towards the end of their life. And then the final one, and this is a hard advice to give, but your mom will pass eventually, regardless of the cause. And so now is a good time for you to reach out to a grief counselor and start feeling prepared for that eventuality. I assume that we don't know when, but that will happen in the future. And I hate to say it so directly, but that is the truth. And if you can get out ahead of it and start talking about it with somebody who's prepared to help you, you'll navigate that situation much better when it happens.
So my dad is in the same situation, and not being able to see him. We set him up at the beginning of all this with a Google Duo in his, one of these video chat screens. And so there's that. And then we were able to work out also with the facility going over to his window periodically, and being able to kind of just be out there on the grass in his window, you know, with the screen up and everybody with their masks on, at least able to see him and to be within that close proximity. So that's been able to be helpful as well. But there's that little part of you too that, I mean, there's a freak out moment, because all of the biggest outbreaks of actual fatal, you know, the most fatal causes people fatalities of COVID-19 have been, you know, the highest percentage of those have been at the long-term care facilities. And so that's a massive thing in our family. We're like, ugh, how do we figure this out? My sister is so much better at this than I am. Of okay, we're going to set him up with the Google Duo, we're going to have this in-person thing, and sometimes he doesn't answer. You know, that's the other thing, is he's got to get over there, turn on the screen, and sometimes I know he doesn't feel like it. And so but it is good to connect that way. So that's a good bit of advice.
Those are great suggestions. Yeah.
Here's another one. It says, how do I navigate the anxiety I'm currently having about my career? Okay, so this is the job question. I could see me and my team being eliminated from my office, and the anxiety is almost unbearable. I would almost prefer just to get the bad news now, just so I wouldn't have to keep myself up at night thinking about it. Thanks. That was more of a statement, but that's that idea. I think a lot of people can also relate with the anxiety of their job or the continuing their job.
Oh, boy. Yeah. A lot of people have already had very difficult things happen with their jobs. A lot of people are like this person who they're just on pins and needles, kind of waiting for the worst to happen. And so I guess what I honed in on there in his question is, you know, I could see me and my team being eliminated. So to me, there's an element there of what I call catastrophizing, looking at and focusing on the worst case scenario. It's possible, sure. But I would say the only remedy for that is bringing it back to what you know, not what could be. You have to stay grounded in the present with what you know. If you don't know a lot, then go ahead and gather some information. But the worst thing is, you know, thoughts lead to feelings, lead to behaviors. If you're thinking about worst case scenario, your feelings are going to match that and be full of panic and fear. And the behavior might be what he's sort of hinting at here, which is, you know, I'd rather get the bad news now. I've even known some people who marched into their boss's office and say, I think I should just quit. And the boss has had to talk them out of it, you know. Because they're just consumed with this fear, which is understandable. The other little bit of advice I guess I have for people in this situation is take back some healthy control by working on what you can do in your current job, but also, depending on your type of profession, maybe you can focus on making yourself the most valuable employee you can, either where you're at now, or if you do end up job hunting in the near future, be prepared for that.
Ethan's already working on that. He's a serial catastrophizer.
Yeah.
And I've told him that there from the beginning. This is a guy.
That whole marching into your boss's office to pre-quit, I did that to Kevin once. It wasn't fear, though. I was mad at Alex.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, well,
yeah.
That's understandable.
It was probably at the very beginning when we still hated each other a lot less than we do now. All right. Let's take another break. Let's take a quick break. I've got a couple more questions. One has to do with kids and the whole school thing. Another one is tragedies and dealing with those tragedies, not just the pandemic, but seeing some of these other tragedies that people are going through and how to deal with those right now during a time that's really, really hard already. Stay with us. Dr. Matt Woolley is therapeutic and therapizing with you right here on the Nightside Project. Stay with us on KSL News.
Nightside, we're all friends here. The Nightside Project on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back. This is the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard here with Alex Keery. This is our final segment with Dr. Matt Woolley. And we've gotten a couple of texts, Dr. Matt. Listeners expressing their thanks to you for spending all this time with us over the last few months. And again, just an outstanding job. And you've got the chance here for this last segment to help a few more people. So, Alex, let's get to another one of these
questions. I also wanted to point out we've got a lot of folks saying very nice things about the Nightside Project and how happy that they have felt during the show, during the days that we've been doing the program. So, thank you for that. And also, I got a text earlier in the day from Debbie Dujanovic during Dave and Debbie's show, and she was like, the Nightside listeners are even weighing in on our show. I just want to I want to encourage the Nightside listeners to keep texting the Dave and Debbie show with your thoughts about the Nightside Project and how much you love it during Dave and Debbie, just to, you know, keep them in check. You got to keep them, you know, you got to keep their seat warm. You know what I mean? You got to keep them on their toes a little bit. So, you know, keep my, yeah, look, it's just part of the deal.
Yeah.
Dr. Matt Woolley, I'm ready for round two of questions here. So,
all right, let's do it.
This one has to do with kids, and your specialty of adolescence is going to come into play here. This one says, my kids are celebrating not having to go to very many days a week to in-person schooling this year. A lot of folks in Davis County got that news this week as well. It's going to drive me nuts with them home as much as they have been continuing into the future. How can we avoid obvious conflict? As I know, they will be a handful when school starts again. I think a lot of people got dealt a tough blow there, Matt, when they found out that you know, we're going to be with our kids a lot more even now going into the next school year.
Yeah, I think you have to look for the positive in that. But one of my kids is doing backflips over this because we're Davis County as well. So the idea is to get out ahead. I think I've said that twice tonight now of this issue. I feel sorry for this parent because they obviously were a little overwhelmed, like many parents have been in the springtime. They don't really say how old their kids are, but the term handful tells me they're probably younger. So a couple of thoughts. One is you're going to need to be a little more organized, and you can't assume the kids are going to do anything but try to manipulate you into fun time. So a week before school, I would lay out a daily at-home school schedule, and please make it visual. Younger kids or even adolescents respond better when something is visual and you don't have to keep repeating it to them over and over again. And so that would just be the obvious when we're doing school, when we're starting, when we're ending, but also post stuff they should be doing and can be doing when their school day is over, but yours isn't. You know, that's where a lot of parents are struggling is they still need to be working. They're online, working virtually. But then when the kids are done, they're running in and trying to get mom and dad's attention and, you know, drive me to the store, you know, come play with me kind of stuff. So, you know, till 5 o'clock or whenever you get finished as a parent, make sure they know what they're supposed to be doing after that. And then build in some daily rewards. Younger kids need daily rewards. And so my favorite daily reward is extra time for a successful, you know, for success. So extra time for a preferred activity, I should say. So if they want to stay up an extra 15 minutes, which sounds like the lamest reward ever.
But for a kid, it's amazing.
For an 8-year-old, yeah. That's the coolest thing ever. And
like in the Woolley household where we have low expectations, it's an amazing, yeah. It's an amazing bit of reward. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. And then, you know, if you hit 80% of the kids doing what they're supposed to do during the week, maybe you have a fun family activity on the weekend. But making it visual, making it clear, giving them things they should be doing, at least all you have to do is point to the poster. You know what I mean? You don't have to keep telling them over and over again. You say, read the poster, and, you know, the kids can start to learn to manage themselves a little bit better.
I think early on in this this process when we started up and we were having you on, we took to heart at our house one of the things, a bit of info that you gave us too. Said, look, kids respond really well to big things being written down on places that they come in contact with all the time. So no screen time until X, Y, and Z, or get your chores done, finish this today, that kind of stuff. And we've taken advantage of it. And our kids are like, these signs have been up for months. Are you going to do anything else besides these same things? But here's the last question for Dr. Matt Woolley on the evening. He says, I've seen a lot of stories recently of tragedy, even during the pandemic, plane crashes claiming the lives of young parents. Seems like we've had a lot of plane crashes recently. Maybe that's just me. That mom who lost one of her twins in the car accident, that was yesterday, on top of the shared tragedy already of the pandemic. One of these families I was close with, and I just don't know how they can handle the worst news of their lives during what we feel like is the worst time already of our lives.
Yeah, that's a heavy one.
That's a lot of doom and gloom right there.
Yeah, and this person's expressing, I think, more than just a question. They're expressing how they're feeling and feeling very overwhelmed and probably a little hopeless about things. This is, you know, hang in there with me on this one. I'm going to start off by saying you really do need to accept that tragedy is part of life, but that resilience results from dealing with our tragedies. It's and there's no, you know, rules that say, you know, they can't happen one after another. So it would be nice if we had a reprieve from tragedies during this pandemic, but that's not going to happen. Accepting it doesn't mean you're okay with it. It just stops you from feeling surprised and taken off guard all the time when these sorts of things happen. But my main advice is this person and many people, in my opinion, need to replace their news watching, except for maybe the basics, which I think is about 10 minutes a day, with reading positive human interest stories. And this may sound kind of funny, start learning something about nature or the arts. And I know that sounds a little odd, but the reality is nature and the arts are very positive. There's creativity and growth that happen in both of those areas. And instead of watching another round of CNN, why don't you watch a Discovery Channel show on something or learn about music or visual arts, something that you can do virtually at home. It will boost your mood and make you feel so much better. And start reading positive human interest stories. There are a lot of outlets that you can access for that sort of thing. And then probably my final bit of advice is being more active and make sure you're offering empathy and support and service to people that you feel in need of. This woman or man said that they knew one of the families in this that she was referring to. So I would say offer support, be help with service. If nobody directly can, I mean, volunteering your time is always a great way to start to see the positive in life. So I would say get out, turn off the TV, get some service going, and learn something positive.
Dr. Matt Woolley, it's our final moments with Dr. Matt during our Nightside Project return that was just 4 months old. And so these last 4 months have been made a little bit easier with Dr. Matt's therapy. So we appreciate you joining us on the program every week, Dr. Matt. And hey, thanks so much again, man.
It was a lot of fun. And I'm going to come find you guys around the building and mess with you while you're trying to record your podcast.
That's good. That. All right, that's good.
Okay.
We'll absolutely jam on it. So there we go. Dr. Matt, we appreciate it. Thanks so much. We're going to take another break here. News, traffic, and weather. When we come back, we got Ethan's headlines. Oh, man. I didn't want to get all heavy with Dr. Matt tonight, but a lot of the questions were. So
they were good. They were excellent questions.
They spoke right to me. So I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Headlines are next. What a vegan mom posted online about a request for a babysitter that will absolutely drive you nuts. You don't want to miss it. Stay with us. More to go on the Nightside Project.
Nightside.
This is the Nightside Project.
Look at the size of that boy's head. I'm not kidding. It's like an orange on a toothpaste.
Nightside on KSL.
A limited edition summer season.
It's summer now. They told me this would be temporary.
It cannot end soon enough.
The Nightside Project with Ethan Millard and Alex Carey. Streaming live on Alexa and on KSL News Radio at 102.7 FM.
All right, welcome back to the Nightside Project, kicking off hour number two of the show tonight. Thanks so much for tuning in. We really appreciate it, and we appreciate you weighing in via text at 57500. Here's one. Let's see here. I needed this program in the early evening to give me faith in humanity. Please help.
Very nice.
Well, you know.
Well, please help. Like, I thought they were saying, so what are they saying here? They want the Nightside Project to stick around? Is that what they're saying?
Well, we are as a podcast, so we're going to be there every day.
Look at you. Are we?
Every day.
Okay.
You don't want to commit to doing episodes every
day?
Well,
no, listen.
We'll figure out the schedule. We'll figure out the schedule.
You're the one who is, I'm at a radio studio every day, okay?
Yeah. Then there's you're right. I'm the problem.
You.
Yes. I'm the problem.
Look, I didn't want to say it. I'm glad you said it out loud.
But I've got this equipment now. It used to be
Are they going to let you keep that?
I'm going to pretend that it disappeared.
It's weird. Like some guy showed up with some KSL gear on. He said he was from KSL.
When Kevin calls me to collect them, I'm just going to tell him that I don't know who he's talking about. They never dropped off any. No, my.
Well, this one gives a suggestion. Yes, the Nightside Project, by the way. Tonight, Thursday, and Friday. So tonight is Wednesday. We got Thursday tomorrow. We got Friday.
Yep.
Those are the last editions of the over-the-air version of the Nightside Project for the foreseeable future. Mm-hmm. Who knows when the next global pandemic hits again? We'll be right here with you again. So, but nobody wants that. So nobody. If the Nightside Project is back, it's a bad sign. All right,
we're brought out to battle the monsters.
Yeah. So this one says the Nightside Project is and forever will be the best show on KSL News Radio to have ever existed.
We agree.
We totally agree. It needs to come back and leave that silly podcast world. Oh, come on. And then this one. here's a thought to lessen the Nightside withdrawal. Have KSL replay the podcast after Unrivaled. It will send us into restful sleep. Well, that's a good point. Look, yeah, you know what? I'll pitch it as a health. This is a community health situation.
Like having Dr. Matt Woolley on.
Right. So like, hey, look, we're just trying to make sure that the community gets its
good night's sleep.
Right. We're like the melatonin of radio shows. we're like the NyQuil of radio shows here on KSL News Radio. It's good.
Hey, are we ready for headlines?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Ethan, hit us up with your own headlines.
You know, I love history, so this headline really, really spoke to me. Mm. But it was 28 years ago that then-President Wilford Woodruff, the fourth president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, laid the capstone on the Salt Lake Temple. That's giant sphere up there.
Yeah.
Well, inside, they had put a time capsule.
Sure.
And so this week, they actually cracked that thing open. And I thought that they just you know, split it at the seam. But no, they actually had to really chip in, cut in and chip in and start retrieving.
Like they basically just put stuff in the cement and then like poured it together, like put it together. It was kind of
I
don't really get how that works.
Anything that wasn't metal suffered quite a bit up there and was in very, very poor condition. But one of the things that I think was awesome was that everyone that was up there on the platform, when it got ready to close, they started throwing stuff in, like personal items.
Oh, yeah.
Including, and this is one thing that I think is awesome, is guys actually, apparently in preparation for the moment and knowing maybe a little bit ahead of time, actually took coins and they carved their own names on the coins.
That's funny. That's cool.
And then flipped them in.
Yeah.
As it started to close. And they've got all these random coins in there that did great. They totally survived. They survived better than anything else.
The coins would have been the best thing because...
And it's got the names of like random people. And you can only imagine that maybe someone, you know, quickly scrawled in the name of one of their kids or something like that and threw it in there.
And I
hope at a certain point... they've got photos of these items. You can see this story at KSLNewsRadio.com. They got photos of the items. But I hope that they release like high-def images of these so that people can see it. I think it's a cool thing to have for
genealogy. It was a little bit of a bummer that so much of the stuff just came out so poorly. And it was kind of like this. They said, well, we knew that we weren't going to get much because... It has not been sealed off from the elements for 128 years. It's been in an outdoor situation, essentially. These are buildings and concrete and all these are kind of living, breathing things. You know, their water is in and out. You know, air, the weather
they
is,
can
is
be,
off
yeah.
and on. And mm-hmm. that's why they busted open a lot of this stuff. And a lot of it was just, you know, had kind of. Turned to dust. Almost,
well, and the problem is that their initial thought was they could split the seam around the, you know, around the equator and then pop it open. But what had happened is the capstone had actually been filled with concrete. And as concrete cures, it leaches all that water out. And then they just sat there. So these are things that have basically been damp.
Since day one.
And then it cured, and when it cures,
you know, then it sets as that gross version of whatever it was. So,
yeah.
Hey, are we going to put another one in there on the next go round? Because if so, I'm showing up with a coin with my name on it. I'm throwing that thing in there.
How are you going to get up to the top? Because the people that threw it in there were the people that were up on the platform.
I'll figure out a way.
You'll figure out. If anyone can.
Well, here's the thing. If I'm not invited to the platform, Chopper 5 is the next best thing.
Well, how far can you throw? Because I'm thinking, what if you're over at the Hotel Utah?
No, that's the thing. I'll have like 200 coins in my pocket. If Chopper 5 flies over, I'll just throw them all down there. Just start pelting all the people who are on the platform. I'll be like, hey, put that one in there for me, would you?
That would probably work.
This person nailed it. We're not smart enough, obviously, for this. The NyQuil Project. That's
the NyQuil Project. That's what we are. All right. Next up on today's headlines, a mom is facing backlash after sharing her list of demands for a new babysitter. The woman on who remains unidentified shared her ad for a vegan-only caregiver. Now, I don't think that it's too much to ask for.
No. But let me read it to you because here's the thing. I saw this on the subreddit, Choosing Beggars, which is like this thing where it's a subreddit that is just totally dedicated to people feeling very bold about asking for stuff or thinking mm-hmm. that they need free things. And this one was absolutely one of those. So I saw it and then it actually made it onto like a mainstream news thing because this lady got just absolutely blasted over this thing. So here was what her ad was. Did you see this?
Yeah.
It said, here's what it was. It said, so you have to,
Here, I'll just read it.
You read it to me.
Looking
Let me see if
for
I can
babysitter
do this.
To come to my two-bedroom condo from 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. So this is a 12-hour shift.
This is a 12-hour day, yep.
Two girls, 6 and 2, both well-behaved and polite.
Okay.
Great.
Handful. By the way, let me just read through the lines here. They're 6 and 2. They're not well-behaved or polite. Keep going.
Must provide food, vegan, organic food only, so they have to bring the food.
So stop. The babysitter has to bring the food.
Yes.
That's the part that got people going. Okay, so you're already asking – showing up from 6A to 6P.
This is not even.
I know we haven't even cracked the surface, but I'm just saying 6A to 6P, and you're required to bring to provide a vegan only diet to the 6 and 2 year old. Continue.
Must submit criminal background check.
Got it.
Must be smoke free.
Got it.
Okay. We'll pay $5 bonus for a clean record.
Okay, $5 bonus. Great job. Thank you.
Women only. Fine.
But did you see too? They said we'll give you the $5 bonus for having a clean background check, but it said very specifically, but I am not paying for your background check.
Yeah, not paying for the background check. Must work weekends with no notice.
Oh, of course.
Now here's the deal.
This sounds like a joke.
This is a joke. The price is listed as weekly. You know how much she's willing to pay? $100 a week.
There you go.
$100 a week.
So,
we are still conducting business, wages will go up to $150 a week after 6 months. No, you cannot sleep in my condo. No, you cannot have friends over. No, you cannot study or watch YouTube or be on your phone while on duty. Can you believe that?
I hate this. This lady so much. And I know it's easy to hate her because of the vegan stuff that she put in there, that you had to bring a vegan diet. The thing that stinks about it is, She thinks that she's more important than anything on the planet. Not her kids.
No, she doesn't understand the value of a dollar. She doesn't understand the value of an hour's work.
That's a problem.
I don't think it's too much to ask for a vegan sitter, or at least someone who will prepare vegan food for your
kids.
If those are the terms, those are the terms. Right.
They say, hey, look, there's almond milk in the fridge and fake chicken-shaped chicken nuggets in the freezer.
I don't even think it's too much to say, hey, you're in charge of the food.
I hate
this. I don't
even
think it's
so
too
much
for that.
No,
but
it is.
You got to pay for it. You know what I mean?
Well,
you
got
to say,
that's exactly
hey,
right.
We've got $150 a week budget for food. It's going to be part of your responsibility will
to cook
be
it
to
up.
To get the food, bring it, and cook it up and have it stored. You manage all that. But then you got to pay for that.
Yeah, this
because
lady
you know what that is?
So bad.
That's extra things that happen outside of when you're the guy. You got to pay for all that, right? It's crazy.
I hate this lady so much. Could you imagine being at her house? First of all, you got to be there 6A to 6P. So that means you leaving your house, waking up at 5 and leaving your house at 5:30 and getting there if you're even kind of close. And then you get there, and then you know she's not showing up at 6, by the way. She's rolling up at 7:14. And she's going, okay, so what did they have for lunch? What did they have for? Because you're feeding them breakfast, lunch, and dinner at that point. That's all of them. And again, I cannot stress enough, if this lady is their mom, that 2 and 6 year old, bless their hearts, they're massive disasters. Okay.
Yeah.
So I want this lady to be arrested. I want the Child Protective Services to show up and be like, look, we saw your ad and, We didn't pass the criminal background check, and neither did you. So here we go. You're gone. All right, let's take a break here. We got to take a break. When we come back, we got some fun stuff to do.
Yeah.
We got a new studies right around the corner. You don't want to miss this.
And we're also doing a news for the 1%. So all you rich people get ready.
We do have a news for the 1% coming up, if that pertains to you. And a lot of our listeners are high class and highbrow, and so it will pertain to you. Stay with us. The backseat driver. What the future of being a backseat driver looks like. You are more helpful than you're being given credit. Stay with us on the Nightside Project.
Nightside. We're all friends here. The Nightside Project on KSL News Radio.
All right, welcome back. The Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard here with Alex Keery. Just a few segments left here on the show. We appreciate you tuning in. We really do. Alex, are you ready for a nice new study segment?
You caught me off guard because I haven't been planning it except for all night, dude. So, yeah, I'm totally ready for this. Let's do it.
Informing and confusing you all at once with the latest scientific research, studies, and polls. It's Nightside. New studies.
All right. How do you deal with backseat drivers? Do they bother you? They don't really bother me. I just ignore them. I'm good at ignoring things. I'm good at not letting things.
So the thing is that it's not about the tips that the backseat driver gives. It's the source. You know what I mean? That's what I've determined. People don't hate backseat drivers. They don't hate getting
They hate certain backseat drivers.
They don't
drivers.
Hate getting information. they can't stand their sister-in-law. You know what I mean? They can't stand their own husband. And so
they don't want it to come from their wife. Yeah.
He's the worst backseat driver ever. And you go, no, that's not what we're saying. What we're saying is this marriage is in shambles because when you tell me that actually you need to take a left up here because it's a one-way street going up 6 South, you're telling me
that you think I'm stupid and you don't trust me.
And you're a total fool for not remembering that. We live in Salt Lake City. I'm saying that as an example.
But you know what? For all you naggers out there, you've got some ammunition before that you didn't have before. And that is, according to a new study out of the University of Waikato, apparently backseat drivers are actually helpful and they can help reduce accidents for drivers over the age of 24.
There you go.
Basically having a passenger look out the window and telling you whether or not it's clear. It's actually very helpful.
It's like do you remember back in the day when you were like a teenager and you'd go we did this all the time. My friend would go, here, grab the wheel for a sec. Right? And they'd get in the back seat, they'd do a couple things, and then they'd jump back in the front seat, and then I'd go, boom, I was driving.
They would physically get in the back seat?
No. But you know when somebody would go, grab the wheel real quick, and you do the thing where you grab the wheel. You never did that?
No, yeah, of course we did. Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
It's moronic.
It's terrible. It's a very teenage thing to do.
You know what I never liked? And this happened to me because I had friends that drove before I did. And so I had zero driving experience, and this is what always gave me so much anxiety. Hey, will you tell me when I'm clear over there?
Oh, I know.
Like when it's clear to go, you know, like if you've
got
like an awkward entry into traffic.
Implicitly trust you with all this information that will either keep us alive or kill us.
Yeah.
And there's
a car way down there, but I don't know.
I don't know what your comfort level is, and I don't know what the brake horsepower is on this car either. So I don't know exactly what kind of a head start you're going to need here on this Sprinter van going 1,000 miles an hour. So I'm the same way. I'm very conscientious of not being the person who says very much in the car. So if somebody's struggling while they're driving, I just leave them to it. And I'm like, you know what? Our relationship is more important than me giving you helpful tips on driving.
Yeah, I'm just gonna keep that too.
I'm going to keep my mouth shut. And yeah, you know what? It'll take us an extra 13 minutes because you don't know what you're doing. But I'm cool with that. You know, we're all right.
Yeah.
57500 is a text number. If you are a backseat driver or are you one of those people that says, I hate backseat drivers. This one, Ethan, was an interesting. This is from Science Daily. And I thought that this was a weird headline. This is an actual study here, a source for your latest research news from Science Daily. Here's the punch. Here's the headline. It's also a punchline. Hedonism leads to happiness. Listen, for all you moms out there and dads who are driving your kids around, they do not need to hear this, okay? Because they'll bring this up in the future for a long time to come. It says, relaxing on the sofa or savoring delicious meal, enjoying short-term pleasurable activities that don't lead to long-term goals actually contributes at least as much to happy life as self-control.
Wow.
Isn't that terrible?
So they're not talking about hedonism as like going crazy.
They're talking about just like full-on pursuit of short-term happiness.
Short-term pleasure.
Yes.
Yeah. Which like a great meal or something like that's short-term. Okay. Really? So this is interesting.
They're saying that all those things they told you about how, hey, listen, nobody ever got happy just going after all these fun things, all right? The answer is you're a liar, Dad, all right?
You know what? This study feels right.
At least for this short segment of our show, for sure.
It feels right for sure.
Think about it.
Because
conquering a long-term goal through a million short-term difficult successes, yes, there is something in that. Is that better than the aggregate amount of happiness that you feel on just eating a bag of potato chips every other day on the couch instead of going out and doing your 6-mile run?
You know what I'm going to correlate this to? I'm going to correlate this to when rich people tell us that money doesn't bring happiness.
Oh. It's true. Oh, no. Yeah, you know, because everybody else
correlating.
And what is the study? And look, that sounds right. That sounds right as a philosophy.
Until you think about it.
Right. And then you go, hold on a minute. Who said that? And then they go, oh, Bill Gates. And you go, whoa, 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 whoa. This is a skewed study. It's either Bill Gates who tells you that or the hot, poor lady on that movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, and so the rich guy would tell you that, right? Because he wants you to feel better.
Exactly.
He has all the money and you don't.
Right.
And then, you know, if a poor person tells you that, well, how would he know? He's poor. How does he know that, you know, wealth doesn't bring you happiness?
These guys are a bunch of liars. Look, you know what those people are? They're rich and they're a bunch of liars. They're trying to keep that wealth for themselves. They're trying to encourage you from not pursuing. All you are is a this is, Ethan, you know what this is? This is the global conspiracy of rich people to keep you and I down. Why?
Finally, we found it. I knew it was there somewhere.
By giving everybody this fake thought of, oh, because all that is they're going to have to share wealth with you. If you become successful, they're going to have to share. That's going to spread around to them.
They don't want you up there.
Listen, start listing off things, Ethan. Start listing off things, and I'll tell you if money will bring me that happiness.
Nice car.
I can buy it with a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And I'd be happy. There you go.
Great education for your kids.
Okay, tons of money you need for that. And guess what? That would bring them a lot of happiness. Now, let me tell you this. Okay. My wife is a business finance person. She's a financially minded. That's her. She is a budgeter and all those things. Let me tell you what her number one thing she would say. And we're not like we're not like doing the living to paycheck thing. But I'll tell you what. I saw it online the other day. Someone said, I got 99 problems, all of which could be solved by me getting a lot more money, by having an increase in salary.
Seriously, that's it. And you know why they tell us this? You know why they say money won't buy happiness? It's because you can't get rich unless you have people that are willing to work for you for $10 an hour.
Right. Or $100 a week as a vegan babysitter.
You've got to have people that are willing to do the work for basically no money. And then you tell them, hey, you know what? It's okay. I don't have to pay you anymore because money won't buy you happiness anyway.
If you're that vegan babysitter ad, that's what you say. Hey, listen, money will not buy your happiness. So just go ahead and work for me for $1.74 an hour, as a texter put it. We're going to take the break here. 57500. When we come back, speaking of rich people, we got to keep our eye on those folks. So we'll have a news for the 1%. These are the headlines the rich people are reading across the world. You need to know about them. Stay with us. The Nightside Project continues after news, traffic, and weather.
Nightside.
This is the Nightside Project.
Everything that happens now is happening now.
What happened then?
The past then.
When?
Just now.
We're it now.
Nightside on KSL.
A limited edition summer season.
It is a little weird to be back here doing this.
Yeah, the weird part's me taking your temperature before each show.
The Nightside Project with Ethan Millard and Alex Carey. Streaming live on Alexa and on KSL News Radio at 102.7 FM.
Welcome back. This is the Nightside Project. Just a few segments left on tonight's show. I'm Ethan Millard. He's Alex Keery. And we want to resurrect something that I don't think we've done yet. This is an old school Nightside segment that I don't think we've done this new limited edition spring/summer season. And that is the news for the 1%. Are we ready to roll with that, Alex?
Yes. And if you're familiar with how we do things on the show, we ask that only those who are in the 1% are listening to the program. Oh, I thought we had the Yes, Amber has it, because you know what, Ethan, I can't be bothered to touch my own buttons here. Yes. Somebody will usually do it for me because I'm in the 1%. Let's do it.
If your net worth is more than $10 million, Nightside dedicates these stories to you.
I forgot.
It's news for the 1%.
You know what music this is?
This is like a Falcon Crest or something.
Or
right?
Dynasty, right?
Dynasty, yeah.
Either way.
Taking me back.
A very unreasonable show about rich people in the 80s. I don't know what we were so
Dynasty.
Obsessed about. Remember Heart to Heart? The same kind of thing where it was like
Dallas?
Dallas, yes. This rich white person is trying to figure out their lives. Tune in this week. It just is so unrelatable, but I think it was this like thing where...
You know what I'm
going to
do?
Is
Dynasty streaming somewhere?
It's got to be, right?
I'm going to find it. And
I'll tell you where. You know what? If you can't find a show like that streaming, you know where you find it is on Texas. By the way, if that's Dynasty or Falcon Crest, either way, It's a show about the Untouchables. So 57500, if you can remember what that music is. No, but YouTube's got a lot of that stuff on there.
So
you can find
apparently,
full episodes of that stuff.
Apparently, it's on the CW, Netflix, Prime Video, YouTube, Google Play.
Okay. Oh, there you go. All those things. But the problem is do you really want to buy that?
No.
No.
But if I could find it in some place I already have
something
a subscription.
Something you already have. Yes.
Yeah. Then, yeah, I'd,
look,
I'd
Ethan,
grab it and watch it.
I think
it.
This is a perfect text that deals with news for the 1%. Nobody frowns on a jet ski. That was from our conversation about how money actually does buy happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let the rich people lie to you. Nobody frowns on a jet ski. I thought that's going on a T-shirt. You know what I mean?
That's like, perfect, yeah.
So they said that's Wheel of Fortune. Brandon does. Brandon, you know what you're talking about.
That's not Wheel of Fortune.
Oh, is he just talking about Pat Sajak and Vanna White, just a couple of rich white people who are like basically trying to help you out, give you a little bit of their
extra cash.
Well,
you remember Vanna White she'd wear all those diamonds and everything
that. Amazing. All right.
All right, Millie, first
what do you
up
have?
On News for the 1%. Lamborghini has the fun little car company. They make those cute little cars, of which I have three or four. They're okay. They've just unveiled a new supercar known as the Essenza, with a Z, SCV12. Here's the problem, though. You can buy it, but you can't drive it on the road. It's
not
legal on the road.
Can you buy it in Italy, though?
Yeah. I mean, you can buy it. Here's what Lamborghini will do for you. They keep it for you in a special garage at the company's headquarters in Italy.
Great.
You will have access to a secure webcam feed, so you can look at your car whenever you want. And then, if you want to drive the car,
you have to call a guy and go, "Will you drive it for me?"
They'll ship it to any racetrack in the world.
They'll ship
it to you, but they'll ship it to a track,
right?
And so
you'll probably have like a Lamborghini, like concierge,
yes,
who takes it from the shipping port to the racetrack. Maybe they get there 45 minutes.
On a truck.
Maybe they get there 45 minutes late because, you know, he was taking the long route to get there to the racetrack.
Mm-hmm.
And then you don't even get, and then they put it back up on the truck before when you leave, too.
If you want, Lamborghini will also provide a professional race car driver to coach you on how to get the most speed and enjoyment from your supercar.
How would this benefit you at all?
Well, you own a race car, basically. The company also hosts special events throughout the year to let Essenza SCV12 owners get together and enjoy their cars as a group. Only 40 of the cars are going to be produced.
It's going to be held at the Rome Chuck E. Cheese this year.
Most of the 40 are already under contract, but a few are still available.
See, of course they are. The thing is, if they say we're unveiling a new thing, a bunch of rich people go, I'm going to put my deposit down right now. They don't even know what it is, but they just like to have that. There are certain car companies that if they say we're coming out with this new thing, Ferrari, Porsche, Lamborghini, these are all companies that if you say we're going to have this new thing, they're going to be sold out before they're even off the production line.
They have not released the price for this car.
It's the car equivalent, Ethan, of the
if you have to ask, you can't afford
it. It's the market price on the menu.
the seafood. it's expected to be upwards of $2 million. This car is like a special passport to the most exclusive world of Lamborghini. That's according to Lamborghini's chief engineer.
Yeah, at the bottom of that they put, this car is not a passport. This car is
there
a passport.
Is no such world. You have no exclusivity.
By the way,
at all.
Please bring your actual passport to get to that track in Modena to be able to drive it around. Well, you know what? I just think, look, that's good for them. Good for those people. Ethan, you remember Jeff Bezos, right?
Yeah.
In one of the most tracked divorce proceedings in the history of rich people divorces.
Well, it was the biggest divorce in history.
Yes.
By a mile.
Yeah. The CEO, of course, and the guy
founder of Amazon,
Jeff Bezos, his now ex-wife, Mackenzie Bezos, who was able to get $71 billion, apparently, from being able to hang out It says this. She only has a net worth of $36 billion, according to Forbes. Mm. That's not a bit. Yeah, and most of her wealth comes from that 4% stake in Amazon.
Yep,
which is part of the divorce settlement. So she is given has dedicated $1.7 billion to charity. So she has pledged $1.7 billion to be distributed across organizations committed to racial, gender equality, economic mobility, public health, and climate change, and more. So $1.7 billion.
Wow.
Yeah. Look.
Good for her.
Well, you know what it is? It's she's showing up the guy that has four times that amount of money, right? Yeah. And goes, look, I've got my net worth is much less than yours, and I'm still going to be giving way more than you're going to. He's like handing out extra face masks at the office at for the Amazon Prime workers. So,
mm-hmm.
So there you go, Mackenzie Bezos, who, by the way, she is apparently the fourth richest woman in the world just by getting divorced from Jeff Bezos. I actually love
Can
that
you believe
story.
That?
I love it. It's amazing. She deserves it. Ethan.
Yeah, well, that's true. And I'm glad that she's looking to do something good with it. And there are a number of billionaires. In fact, the Huntsmans have signed up for this, or John Huntsman Sr. signed up for this. He signed that pledge. I forget who first rolled out the pledge. Who rolled out the pledge? Was it it might have been the Microsoft guy.
It'd be a great bet to say not Paul Allen, the other one.
The guy that's still alive.
Yes, the guy.
Why can't we come up with his name?
I can see his dumb face right now. And he's I the can richest. See his khakis.
He was the richest man in the world.
No, I know.
For so long.
I know.
He's got the glasses.
Lives in Seattle. Bill Gates.
Bill Gates. You did.
Ethan,
man,
this is.
That was crazy.
I know. That was weird. So I was watching his face and I'm going, why am I saying Paul Allen? Like, that's like the.
Bill Gates, I swear it was him, came up with this pledge that he invited his fellow billionaires to sign, where basically they said, when we die, we're going to give away basically all of our money.
Right. At least like three quarters of their worth. Right.
Yeah. And which I think is very admirable.
Here we go. Millard, mm-hmm. This headline for the News of the 1% is basically also, it should be a script in Hollywood. Super rich Russian battles Chinese rival in the hunt for African gold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, so this guy, Alexei Mordashov, which, by the way, also ripped from the script of a James Bond movie of a villain. He's the billionaire chairman of Severstal PAO, which is
a Russian steel and energy company.
Okay, so this guy, apparently he's got a beef with his Chinese gold hunting rival, and they are both trying to move. Like they say that this their company is closing in on a gold deposit in Ghana, and apparently I don't know. I would just assume there was like a bet in there somewhere.
Yeah,
I just thought that the headline "Super Rich Russian Battles Chinese Rival in the Hunt for African Gold." We have got to write that as a movie.
Well, and this is kind of all part of America's withdrawal from the larger world stage, because you've got Russia is moving into the Middle East as America's leaving it, and almost at our invitation, Russia's taking control of large swaths of the Middle East, and China is moving in aggressively in Africa. We've, over the last 4 years, we've aggressively cut our investing in Africa, and China's ramped it up, and so we're really withdrawing, and this fight between Russia and China, I think we're going to see more of, as we just withdraw and hand over power to China.
Let's take the break here. It's our final break of the evening. 57500, one of our last final breaks of the Nightside Project here on the air, as we, of course, are sunsetting the program. We'll be back to normal, quote-unquote, programming on Monday, with Unrivaled coming on from 7 to 9 and Jeff Kaplan going all the way up to 7 o'clock. We'll be right back. More to go on the Nightside Project.
You've had a long day. So have we. The Nightside Project on KSL News Radio.
All right. This is the Nightside Project. It's our final segment tonight. Drop us a text 57500. What did you learn tonight on the show? Let's hear about it. What did you learn tonight? 57500. I've also got a Great Zen headline. I got a text.
Yeah, what do you got?
I got a message on Twitter from Ryan. Ryan said, hey, you know, are you guys still going to do the podcast? I said, yeah. And then I said, and we're still going to do the Zen headline, so keep them coming.
Ryan's I love how you're super committed to it, and you're the one who was the hardest to get a hold of.
Well, but so this is why. This is why we struggled so
I'm
much.
Like
is because
hey, Ethan, you want to do the Nightside Project tonight again?
The problem has been this. Okay, your
goes to me now. Huh?
You're there. No. It's not you, but it's just reality. Okay, you're there, broadcast out. So you've got access to the studio at any time. I have to come drive downtown, and that's harder to do.
Right.
Like in the middle of a workday. Hey, you know, randomly kind of drive downtown. Having this equipment here, this is a game changer, because we really can, you know, record as often as
we. What you should do is go. Thank you so much. Write a letter to Kevin and be like, just a quick thank you. This has been an amazing process for me. We've had a lot of fun doing the show. Thanks for bringing it back, even if it was just for a little bit during the COVID. And thank you so much for this complimentary equipment. It's going to go a long way. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. I've changed my phone number. I haven't received the new phone number yet, but goodbye.
I'm going to take it one step further. I'm going to say, you know, it's okay that you never brought any radio equipment to my house. It's
Did
fine.
I
never got it. It's okay. We figured it out.
I thought it was weird that you said that engineer was going to show up with all that radio equipment and never did. You should fire him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or her. Whoever. I don't know who it was.
All right. 575-00. What did you learn tonight on the show? Get that in here.
I've got to play the music. Isn't that right?
Yeah, get the music
that
going.
Means?
Yep.
Okay. So the end of the show with the music. Gosh. You figured we'd figure this out by now. When I say we, I mean you would figure this out by now.
I'm not playing the music.
No.
Although I can. This little board that I have, I can actually load sound effects into these different
cool.
buttons.
I'm glad you've now made me aware of that 4 months into our 4 month project.
Would it have been helpful to have had me playing, hitting some of these?
Well, you wouldn't be telling me the whole night, you know, every night.
I just know how much you like to control things.
Well, I don't know. Don't act like I'm that guy. Don't act like I'm that guy.
Come on. Here are a couple of texts here. 575-00. What did you learn tonight on the Nightside Project? I learned that money does buy happiness. No, just kidding. I always knew that to be the case, but I much appreciate the reminder. Someone else texted in something related to money. It says, I got advice in college from a very successful person. They said, don't worry about anything that money can solve. Now you just need to worry about making enough. I thought that was very interesting. A few others coming in. I really will miss your program. Thanks for spending most of your summer evenings with us.
Yeah, you bet.
It's been our pleasure.
Yeah.
I'm so sad. I love Nightside. Don't be sad. We love it too.
Yeah. And again, as Ethan's put it, the podcast will be at least 30% as good as the live product.
Oh, at least. At least.
What we mean is it'll be 30% the length of the show. So
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Someone goes, yeah, the podcast, you guys are super consistent at putting them up every couple of months for 12 minutes. Look, it was just toward the end there, toward the end of the beginning.
Yeah.
I'm confused where we are.
I learned that life is short and enjoy the simple, dumb, fun things.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Which one are you and I? Simple and dumb. Which one's
simple
which?
Simple and dumb. We're interchangeable. I learned that I'm going to have to share the uniqueness of my Lambo with 40 or 50 other guys. Kind of a turnoff. That's from Brian.
I love how you're like, honey, I'm flying to Geneva this weekend. Me and the Lamborghini boys are hanging out again. Hanging out with a bunch of dudes. Your car is the exact same.
I'm going to use some of my credit card miles.
Which car are you taking? Well, the same one you are. I'll be behind you. Just a whole line of... Well, I can't say it on the radio, but yeah. Of those guys.
Those guys.
The 1%ers. Buffer. Pull it around.
Let's see. I learned tonight. I feel like we're doing Green Mile practice executions tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Nightside has helped me through this so much. From Brandon. Thanks, Brandon.
You remember when we first stopped the show, when we did the 10-year run, we got all emotional last night. I'm just going to commit right now to the fact that I have not nearly been as emotionally attached to the show over these last 4 months. So
it's been awesome. It's been a lot of fun.
There won't be an emotional going away.
It'll be semi-emotional. It'll be
But you know what I'm going to do? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say that this show, because what year are we in now? 2020?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that this show is 14 years old, though. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We've been doing, I guess, how long did we do the show, the radio show? I guess it was 14 years.
Well, it's, and it's
even though we did it, 10 and a half, and then we go, oh, we come back after three and a half years to do a 4 month run.
Well, it's the podcast gives us that documentation.
Sure.
So, yeah, we're good.
Some time stamped podcast. Yeah,
I've got a Zen headline.
What do you got?
Are you ready for this?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe you have noticed, or maybe you saw the story of the teddy bear that was lost in Canada.
I didn't know the story about this. I saw that Ryan Reynolds was pledging money for a teddy bear, though.
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds kind of brought this to everyone's attention. He offered straight up $5,000 reward for the return of this teddy bear. Now, he doesn't have any direct tie to it, but the young woman named Mara Soriano.
Oh, it's not a kid?
Well, I don't know how this person is, but it doesn't matter. The age doesn't matter here, I think, in the larger scheme of things. This woman girl, age irrelevant, had a teddy bear, and in that teddy bear contains a recording of her late mother's voice, kind of that last thing she has of her mom. A bag of hers was stolen, including the teddy bear. She didn't think she'd ever see it again, but she kind of started to put the word out, and it was amplified by Ryan Reynolds, and sure enough, it was found. Oh, this woman, I bet she's late teens, early 20s.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's
Here's
more,
a photo.
I thought,
I'm seeing
she looks college-aged.
Yeah.
That's kind of my thought.
So in her 20s sometime. Anyway, but someone actually found it, and they returned it. Ryan Reynolds say there's $5,000 in this, no questions asked. And they said, you know what? They found it.
The police are like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Mr. Reynolds does not speak for the police. We have a lot of questions. If you bring it back, we actually strictly have a ton of questions for you. So, but that's a very good. And was the recording still on there? That's the question.
Yeah, the recording's still on there. Yeah, she recovered
that part,
it intact.
See, that part, that's the part, like, because let's say you get that teddy bear, and even if you're a thief and you bring that thing home, and your four-year-old thief daughter, or, I mean, she's not a thief, but she's the daughter of the thief, and he records his voice on it right over it, you know? So I'm glad that her mom's voice is still on it, too.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. So we're glad it got back there. Great Zen headline. Thanks to Ryan Reynolds. Seems like an all-around good guy. And, you know, I've been sitting here talking all night long.
Yep.
And now I have my kids, like, literally over my shoulder. They just wanted to see the teddy bear. Of all the things we talked about tonight.
Of all the 4 months of things that they wanted to see.
I mean, my kids raced
in
here.
They wanted to see the 2020 Teddy Ruxpin. There you go.
See that bear right there, guys? That was worth $5,000. That's a $5,000 teddy bear.
All right. I'm nervous that your kids are going to start cussing. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to sign off here, and we'll be back again tomorrow night. Two more nights left of the Nightside Project live on the air here on KSL News Radio. For Ethan Millard, I'm Alex Curie. We'll talk to you tomorrow. KSL's Unrivaled's up next.
Good evening, 8 o'clock at KSL News Radio. I'm Mark Jackson, KSL's top local story this hour is developing news. First up this hour, unified police on the scene right now of a bear.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.